The Bird Show.
Trying to get to this for the last 3 weeks, and it's going to sound sad, but I'm so relieved. My mom has cut me off.
What?
It sounds sad. I got to tell you, I have been in such a good mood since it happened. I know it sounds terrible to say. It's a long, complicated story, and it's impossible to detail all of it, but I can tell you what brought this last part on.
Will you promise to tell us how the cutoff took place using Myra's voice?
Sure. It was in the form of an email.
Perfect.
But sure, I can do that.
What was the last cutoff? I mean, have y'all been cut off before?
Well, my mom and I didn't talk when I was from 10 to 18. Mm-hmm. I moved out to live with my dad, and she sort of just went away, you know? And ever since that time, we've always been in contact with each other. And it's been, you know what? I mean, to be honest with you, with my mom, there's just not a lot of connection there. Probably because of those years where we were away from each other. She's just not a real warm person. Our family, the way I grew up, family just wasn't important. We were more, I don't call it abused. I call it neglected, where she didn't care. My dad didn't care. We were just there, but there was no family gatherings. There was no interaction. So there's just never been like a lot of connection with me and my mom. Never, 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 you know? But I've always sworn that I would not do the cutoff thing. Mm-hmm. So I would give her what I can. And we had a pretty decent relationship the last couple of years. Things were fine, you know? Mm-hmm. So if we reverse it now a couple of months when I got really sick for those couple of days, mm-hmm. remember, I didn't come into work and I had the fever and I was really banged up, right? I didn't call my mom for about 24 hours. Stacy didn't call my mom for about 24 hours when I was sick. So when we finally got in touch with my mom, she was so offended that we didn't call her immediately. It instantly became about my mom.
She was offended that you didn't call her that you were not feeling well?
Yes.
So you get sick and you have to call your mom?
That Stacy's dad knew about it. Stacy's mom knew about it. Stacy contacted them, and I made sure that they were taken care of, but I didn't call my mom, and I didn't call my dad. And
was the contacting of your Stacy's parents more practical purposes? Because they're in town.
Well, I mean, if I had to be honest with you, I'd say it's practical, but it's also, honestly, I have more of a connection with her parents than I do mine. Like, my first thought would be, call Georgianne, call Don, make sure they know what's going on, and we'll get to my mom when we get to my mom.
Well, and also, Stacy's in touch with her family every day.
Yeah.
Like, she probably talks to her mom 3 times a day on the phone.
Right.
And so, that's just, they share what's going on in their lives. And she probably talks to her dad that often, too, so you just share what's going on. It's not like it's an appointment call, oh, I should call them and tell them. It's like, they're in her life every day.
Right.
So it's just natural.
I mean, even besides that, that is all very true. Besides that, something goes wrong now, I'm probably calling her parents before I call mine. It's just the nature of my relationship with my parents that they developed, which is what I said to my mom. So she sends me this email just laying me out, man, for not being connected to her. And she's so offended that I didn't call her immediately. So I sit on it for a couple of days and I shoot her back an email saying, look, if our relationship is fractured and we're not connected, you have to take responsibility for that because you haven't been connected to me my entire life. So for you to think, for you to expect me, my knee-jerk reaction is to all of a sudden say, I should have my mom in on this. I said, that might be true, but I just don't feel it. So we're going back and forth in emails. And finally, my mom just a couple of weeks ago goes, this is too hurtful. I don't want to talk to you. That was really it. I got to tell you, I've been in a great mood since it happened.
Can you do that in her voice?
It wasn't even a deer bird. I've almost like blocked it out. I can't even remember.
It was a Bert colon, almost as though you're writing a customer service letter.
It was something, dear Bert. the pain, something about the pain just being too great. The pain is too much for me to bear at this particular time in my life. So I hope you find peace. But at this point, I cannot have contact with you or something like that.
So how long will she be gone for?
Does she sign it mom? Or does she sign it Myra?
I think she signed this one mom. Yeah. But
then in parentheses
it gets so much
that,
more complicated than that. And it's just so, it's impossible to try to tell you guys everything that makes this dysfunctional puzzle that on the surface, it could just seem like get over it and call your mom, which I'm not going to do. Which I'm absolutely not
going to
do.
So now what's going on with your dad? Wow. Now things are cool with your dad.
Yeah, now things are cool with my dad, and now I don't have a relationship with my mom. But Stacy told me the other day you're a different person around the house. She's like, since you haven't been having contact with your mom, I haven't seen you this happy in years. And part of it is so right.
Because it's relieving.
So relieving right now. Now, I'm sure there's going to be contact in another 4 or 6 weeks. She'll come to me. I'm going to write her a letter basically saying exactly what, you know, the borders in our relationship are now. But I think there needed to be this seismic shift in our relationship for it to be where it needs to be. I think we're going to be finally on the same page. It's like, yeah, you know, you're going to be my mom and I'm going to be your son and you're going to be the grandparents. But I just don't have that connection to you as much as I've tried. I don't feel it in my heart. I am really sorry, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm living with the truth for the first time with her ever.
Wow. Have you ever had a connection with your dad and mom? Like a good, not connection, but a good time with your dad and mom at the same time? Or is it always flip-flop?
You want to hear something really sad? I know that we've joked about this on the air that I've made my therapist cry like three times over my childhood. So I'm sitting in there a couple of weeks ago, and we're going through all this together. And she says to me, tell me 5 times that you had a great time with your parents. Just give me 5 quick memories of times that you've had with your parents where you guys were smiling and had a great time.
Are you about to make us cry?
I came up with one, and I struggled for half an hour.
That's sad.
I've got one memory.
Have you made your therapist cry more than once?
Yeah, it's been like 3 times.
She starts crying listening
three times.
To your
My therapist has teared up 3 different times on me now.
I don't mean to laugh at this whole thing.
No,
but
it is
so
laughable. It's become a running joke between she and I, actually.
Your relationship with Myra and, I don't even know your dad's name, your dad.
Fred.
Myra and Fred is a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
It's so dysfunctional, though. It's so past, like most of the time, even being able to laugh about it.
The fact that you only have a relationship with one of them at a time. Like, you went out to Las Vegas, and you said, it was cool. I hung with my dad. I watched him hang out with Hayden. He was hugging on Hayden, and everything was solid. And then you come back, and your mom's like, get out of here.
Well, I think she's sort of a little pissy about that also, because she's written in a couple of emails that she's sure that I'm being influenced by my dad, even though my dad and I haven't had any conversations about her at
still
all.
Still using his divorce trophy.
Yeah. I've really done everything I can, and I'm looking at my mom now with complete clarity. Like, I totally get it now. And it's been a really painful couple of months. Like, being in a therapist's office and bringing up all this crap from your childhood, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, my life is so great. Like, I shouldn't have to deal with any of this. It sounds so stupid to have to deal with childhood crap when you're an adult. It sounds so dumb.
No, it doesn't sound
stupid.
No, it doesn't. I think it is a testament that you're willing to go there. I think there's so many people that don't ever go there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They'll just choose to ignore it and live on the surface their whole life and repeat terrible patterns, repeat the patterns their parents put in their head, do all that stuff. But, like, I think you have always been dedicated to making your family different and making your life different, and that's part of it. And I commend you for being able to go there and talk about going to a therapist and all that other stuff. Like, there's a lot of people that will not ever go.
Well,
or they think it's stupid, or they think, oh, you're going to go sit in an office and pay people a lot of money to tell you what you want to hear. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just people that won't go there.
It, for me, it all stems from my relationship with my kids. Like, there was some stuff that was just off with Hayden and Hollis that I was feeling that I should have felt that I wasn't. And I'm like, I got to get to the bottom of this. There were times where I was working, where I had time to be hanging out with the kids, and it was more enjoyable for me to be working, and it wasn't right. And I'm like, I got to go get to the bottom of this and find out why. So all of this has sort of come up at that time, because all of this is stopping with me. And I've said this a million times on the show now, that the realization I have now is that your family tree, the rest of my family tree forms with my relationship with my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm jacked up because of my dad, and my dad's jacked up because of his dad, and it is stopping with me. My whole family tree, this is so important for parents. This is so powerful. Mm-hmm. You get to form the health of the entire family tree from you down. That is powerful stuff. Mm-hmm. That is really...
Mm-hmm. I mean, your kids are going to have issues, because I think sometimes the meaning of life may be to experience something as a kid and spend the rest of your life trying to kind of improve upon it and be your own person. But at least you're stopping the tragedy that is what you went through as a kid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Hayden Hollis, they're going to have issues they're going to deal with as men, but it's not going to be
it's
what you
deal
with.
It's not going to be like this. They will never have the thought that they weren't loved by their father or their mother.
Mm-hmm.
They will never be able to look back at their childhood and say, we never went on a family vacation. They didn't give a crap. Mm-hmm. I was running the streets. They couldn't care less. That will never happen in my family. Never. Hey, Liz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, super. Great.
I just wanted to call and let you know that I think there are a lot more people out there that can empathize with what you're talking about than people want to admit. Mm-hmm. My childhood was totally jacked up, as you say. When my mom passed away, I felt this sense of relief that people like just don't understand. And she had a lot of issues that she ended up, my brother and I suffered for. A lot of them were her fault and a lot of them weren't her fault. She had some mental illness and stuff like that. But the burden that was lifted mm-hmm. from me when she died was like, oh my gosh, I can breathe.
Look, I have talked to my therapist about this very thing because I sort of feel like I'm playing defense with my mom and my dad because I've had people tell me over and over and over again that once they're gone, they're gone. So do what you can now. And I sort of have always had that thought in my mind that I just want to be at peace with the way I reacted and acted with them while they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got that piece down, I think, right now. And another thing, you know, that my therapist has said to me is that my definition of abuse is somebody that gets beat. You hear about these cases all the time. I mean, physical abuse. But, gosh, she hit me with something a couple of weeks ago. She's like, she has patients that have gone through years and years of physical abuse and have more of a connection to their parents than I do. She said, you were abused, and it is a classic case of abuse. It's not you're bruised, you aren't hit, but you are absolutely an abused child.
Well, the emotional abuse that people suffer sometimes can last so much longer mm-hmm. than the bruises on your skin.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think I realized that till just a couple of years ago, and it's been really tough to deal with because part of me is just like, wah, 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 wah. You're talking about this now
as an adult? It surfaces in the oddest places if you don't deal with it, you know?
Here's my wife, Stacy. Hey, babe.
Hey.
How are you?
I just wanted to first just say how proud I am of you for going on the air with us because nobody knows more than I do how painful this is for you. So I really admire you. That's a big thing to do.
Thank you, honey. You've been awesome.
I think it's very cool, and you're probably helping a lot of people today.
And I feel like our relationship has been way stronger since this cutoff also. Like,
oh, my gosh, yes.
No, really?
I mean, I got to tell you, he was scaring me. Like, I was getting to a point where I was concerned for the kids and some scars that may end up long-term because he couldn't find any peace. He was just in turmoil all the time. It was just always this, like, edginess that what was going to be the next email from his mom or what was going to be the next painful thing she said or did to him or our kids. And I don't think he realized, like, how intense it was because it's happening to him. So for us, I was in the background going, oh, my gosh, this isn't the guy I married. This isn't the person that I know. And it was getting worse and worse and worse. And it's just funny how you can't see so much of what's happening to you when you're in it. And Jeff brought up the point about how if you're good with your dad, you're not good with your mom. And I said that to Bert about a week and a half ago, and he looked at me like, oh, wow, that's really true. And I'm like, baby, it's been like that for 16 years. I've been with you 16 years. It's been the same way. It's never changed. But when you're in it, you just don't see it. And it's just so painful. And it was carrying over. It was definitely the stuff they were doing to him and was carrying over. And I think that emotional abuse is so much harder to deal with because physical abuse, you can see the cuts, you can see the bruises, and they heal, and you work past it in that whole process. But with emotional abuse, it's so easy to hide it and cover it up and ignore it, not pay attention to it, and then all of a sudden it comes out in these awful ways.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of months for sure. And as soon as she sent that email.
I'm so proud of you because who wants to do this at our age?
I'm exhausted by it. I was so exhausted
by it. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You've got all this other pressure going on in your life, two kids, a big job, all these things to do. And then you have to deal with this stuff that happened when you were six.
Catching a marlin.
Right.
Catching a marlin.
Did you respond to her last email?
I did. But, you know, this is the thing that my mom did also that really pissed me off. God. She writes at the end of her email, don't send me an email because I won't read it. So like she wouldn't even allow me to have any kind of closure with her cutoff. So I sent her an email anyway, just basically saying that it's
you're reading this.
Gotcha.
I basically said it's unforgivable what you've just done now. And she hasn't been there to respond at all to help me get peace with all of this stuff the last couple of months. Like, we were supposed to have this therapy session together that she was flying down for. She just didn't show up. I'm sitting in the therapist's office waiting for my mom to knock on the door. She's just hanging out in New York. Just didn't show up.
Did she forget?
She said she thought it was a phone conference, but I've got emails that say, yeah, I'll see you down there in Atlanta. So she just hasn't given me anything. And that last email was just like, so don't contact me because I won't read your emails. Was just like, it's such a hurtful thing to do to your kids. Like, it's unthinkable, right?
I can't imagine that from, like, a boss or an acquaintance or whatever. But just, yeah, that makes me want to cry.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, my therapist is crying right now with you, so it's cool.
God, I need to go see your therapist.
I'm in such a better place now. I'm in such a better place now than I was a couple of months ago. This is relieving for me. Serious.
When your therapist cries, do you ask for your money back for that session? Because it seems like, no, seriously, I mean, if you have to at any point go, oh my God, are you okay? Like, I think that's jacked up, and I don't think you should pay for that.
No, I get competitive about it. I'm like, has anybody else made you cry before? Am I the only one that's ever done that?
That's awesome.
She's like, we're going to have another session about your competitiveness.
This is The Bird Show.